Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Paso Robles is a premier producer of Bordeaux-style wines, and it's a testimonial. Paso was named the wine-growing region of the year by Wine Enthusiast magazine back in 2013. Winemakers from around the Paso Robles AVA will be celebrating and showcasing their Cabernet Sauvignon and Red Bordeaux varietals at the Cabs of Distinction event this May 2nd at River Oaks Hot Springs in Paso. Come along and join three of the participating winemakers, Steve Peck from J. Lore Vineyards, Chateau Margines, Mike Mooney, and Daniel Dow from Dow Vineyards, as they share details about the upcoming event and exactly why the Paso Robles region produces some of the world's finest Bordeaux-style wines. We'll also join them for a tasting of their wines at Thomas Hill Organics in downtown Paso Robles. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer.
I'm Daniel Dow from Dow Vineyards and Winery. We're located in the Adelaida District, which is a mountainous district in the higher elevation in Paso Robles. We're actually on the site of the first commercial winery in Paso Robles.
I'm Steve Peck with J. Lore Vineyards and Wines. We're located on Airport Road, just north of the Highway 46 in Paso Robles. We also have our second tasting room. Our original facility is up in San Jose, California.
Michael Mooney with Chateau Margines Winery. We're located in Creston, California, 4385 La Panza Road. That's where the estate vineyard is. That's where the winery is. With the second location on the Embarcadero in Morro Bay, 845 Embarcadero Road.
So, you know, 3 years ago, many wineries in Paso Robles banded together. And it was a collaborative effort to try to really push the quality of Cabernet Sauvignon.
The Cabs of Distinction event being held on May 2nd at River Oaks Mineral Hot Springs in Paso Robles. I mean, this Cabs of Distinction, it's almost like a university of Cabernet that you can attend. You know, you're going to be able to pick up not only some great flavors, but some great education and great, you know, expand your understanding of Cabernet wines in Paso Robles.
I think what you will find is that many of the wineries displaying their wine and pouring their wines during the Cabs of Distinction Grand Tasting don't usually pour these wines in a tasting room because they're higher-end wines that are very limited in production. We know that the Cabs of Distinction Grand Tasting is a very unique event, and you will see that most wineries are putting their best products on display here to try to showcase what we can do in Paso Robles.
That's so true. You go to a lot of the wine festivals around the area here and others we've done, and people are pouring their wines, not necessarily at a festival pouring your best wines, but I believe all of us here are bringing out the showstoppers, bringing our best wines.
You know, the nice part about the Cabs of Distinction event is it's so focused on Cab and other Bordeaux blends that we can, both the winery and the consumer, benefit from showing some of those top-tier wines because we know we're going to have a very focused audience that's going to appreciate what's being put in front of them.
Paso Robles has always produced great Cabernet Sauvignon, but in the past, the market wasn't here for us to push the envelope. It takes a lot of money to basically push the quality in the vineyard. You know, lower yield in terms of gallons per ton, lower number of clusters per shoot, per vine, all these things end up costing more. And historically, Paso Robles was shy about pushing the envelope. However, we got together 3 years ago, and we decided that it's time to really tap into the potential of the terroir here in Paso. All these efforts have culminated into basically what you're going to taste this year. You're going to taste some incredible wine that have led the last 3 years and pushed the winemakers around here and around this town and winery to say, okay, let's show what we can do. So if you come to the event this year, you're going to taste incredible wines that are world-class. And that's why I think you should definitely come this year.
I think the benefits of attending is that you're going to see, as you said, a focus on these Bordeaux varieties that you just can't get anywhere else. As producers, when we leave the winery on Saturday morning to bring our wines out to the event, we're not sitting there deciding, well, should we pour our Pinot or our Chardonnay or, you know, what case may be. We know what we're packing our bag with, which is the top tier of our Bordeaux program. And that's really what we're all about at J. Lore. That's what we do best. That's what we're known for in the market. It's certainly the center of the universe as far as I'm concerned. And it's nice to be part of a like-minded band of brothers.
How rare to come to a wine tasting event where you're getting the creme de la creme.
Mm-hmm.
Really a cool part of the draw.
This is not your drunk fest event. This is really for wine aficionados where people are going to come and really taste some world-class wines that they otherwise would not have a chance to taste. It would be virtually impossible in one visit to Paso Robles hit every one of the great wineries and try these wines. But you get to have us all in one room for one day, and you have access to these wines.
And we are sneaking up on the world. We've gotten phenomenal press the last 3 years. Paso Robles in 2013 was Wine Enthusiast Wine Region of the Year, and that was internationally, globally. And a few of us from the board, PRWCA board members, flew back to New York, black tie affair and a big presentation, and Gary Eberle was back there, and the Lohr family was back there. So Mr. Steve Imhoff at the time, from Wine Enthusiast, came to our event the first year at the ranch. We did it at Windfall Farms. We had 16 wineries the first year, and Steve Imhoff was there moderating the panel, and I think he was blown away by what he tasted that day, and that carried through to his input into making Paso the wine region of the year. And we're not comparing ourselves to any other region. We're saying, come to Paso Robles, see how we're farming, see how we're growing, see the practices that are in play. Look at our soil, look at our story, and taste our wines, and you be the judge. It's a very subjective thing we're in here, this wine business. Our wines are showing themselves to be world-class. And that's just not our opinion. That's now being written about and talked about by many people.
I think it is interesting to know that the VIP ticket gets you not only more time at the event, but you'll actually get to taste a unique set of wines that might only be available for a limited time.
So this third iteration of the Cabs of Distinction at River Oaks Hot Springs, May 2nd, VIP tasting, they're an hour early, but you're going to be able to taste some wines in that time and meet one-on-one with the owners and the winemakers, a little more really one-on-one time than the general admission section. And there's going to be a VIP tasting as well, and there'll be library wines there that won't be poured at the general session. So I encourage everyone to attend the VIP session, spend the day, and really go through and evaluate the wines. We have a chocolate and a chocolate pairing. We have some cheese and charcuterie being individually for each person there, along with the wines, to be able to listen to music, enjoy the lakeside pavilion. It's a beautiful area. Last year was a gorgeous day, and people had a great time. To acquire tickets to the Cabs of Distinction is PasoRoblesCab.com. That's PasoRoblesCab.com. And we have the VIP tickets as well as the general admission tickets on the site.
So I will tell you a little bit about the wine I brought. It's our flagship wine in the winery. It's called the Soul of a Lion. You know, typically it's a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Petit Verdot. However, in 2012, I did not blend in any Cabernet Franc because I didn't think it met the quality that I wanted in the Soul of a Lion. So it is 97% Cabernet Sauvignon and 3% Petit Verdot. This wine usually is from the best blocks we have on our mountain, and it goes into 100% new French oak barrels. Some of them I've actually created myself for this program, and it's aged for 22 months in 100% new French oak. The wine was released the first time with a 2010 vintage. We sold out of it for 2 years, so actually we're excited because this is the first time since 2 years ago that we actually have some available.
So it's a real limited case production then?
It's about 1,000 cases, which is pretty limited for us. It sells for $100. Typically for club members who purchase it early. However, if you find it in the market, it's probably going to sell for a little bit more than that.
This wine showing great color, so the phenolics are really good on this wine. Very deep, rich, chewy on the palate, got great tannins all the way through to a full mid-palate, a very nice finish. So this wine is deftly made, Daniel.
Thank you, Mike.
You know, it's just got that, you know, rich character to it, again, with that eye towards ageability. This is a wine that you know you can lay down and you're going to benefit more and more as you see that great Cabernet character evolve.
Thank you. So the wine that I've brought for you guys to taste today is our cask series. We have an estate Bordeaux blend where we blend Cabernet and Cab Franc together. This is exclusively 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. It's sitting on 100% new French oak. It's about 50% from my estate. And we buy fruit from two other vineyards. So it's got some vibrancy. It's got some nice blackberry fruit, nice mid-palate. Again, it's designed to be a wine that is going to be opened down the road. It's not one to be opened early, but we made 92 cases is all we made of this wine.
How long have you been producing this, Michael?
This is the very first one.
It really has a nice way that it strikes the palate, you know, and the finish just goes on and on.
Yes, very earthy and great acidity. Definitely, you know, displays balance. So, yeah, nice wine, beautiful wine.
This is the 2012 cask for, and we'll make it every year, but we're just selectively doing 4 barrels each year.
So, again, this is a keeper.
This is a keeper. This is one you don't want to be opening early. You really want to lay this down a little bit.
I brought out J. Laure's Cuvée Pau. This is a class of wines we do every year. It's a Bordeaux-style blend made in the Pauillac style, so it's dominated with Cabernet Sauvignon. This vintage, it's about 75% Cabernet. The other 25% is roughly equal parts of Malbec, Petit Verdot, Merlot, and a lesser amount of Cabernet Franc. Daniel and Michael, I'd love to get your opinion on it.
I definitely smell the Saint-Julien nose here. The earth, beautiful.
Yeah, you know, 2011 along with 2010 were their two cooler years. I think we're on to a string of stronger vintages. Seems like 12, 13, and 14 are really going to knock it out of the park in California and particularly in Paso Robles. We're really proud of this wine. We're able to get, as you said, Daniel, Cabernet ripe every year here. That's not necessarily true of all the best growing regions in the state, you know, particularly around the world. We benefit from the flexibility of blending in this program. So in any particular year, we feel like we can increase or decrease the amount of different blender varieties to kind of build the status of the wine. You know, this is a Cabernet-based blend, and in the case where the wine is maybe a little bit too tannic, we'll bring in something softer like Merlot or Malbec can bring in that density but still be soft. It also kind of frames the wine and away from the savory elements of Cabernet Sauvignon, the spiciness, and leaves a little spot for the oak, you know, the roasted hazelnut characters of roasted oak to shine.
Beautiful aromatics on the wine. Just really nice balance all the way through the mid palate, through to the finish. Very nice wine.
Very balanced wine. Definitely a Bordeaux character. I would be hard pressed to think this is California, actually. It reminds me of a ripe year in Bordeaux. Really, very earthy.
Again, it's not hot at all.
Not at all.
Yeah. This cuvee tier, one of the things we're looking for is ageability. You know, California wines aren't necessarily made to achieve that goal in all cases, but with the cuvee tier, we really do want to make wines for collectors, people that have the patience to want to hold Bordeaux wines in their cellar and watch them age so gracefully the way that Cabernet Sauvignon and the other Bordeaux varieties do so well.
I've always liked, you know, J. Laure's cuvée, the special cuvée, the higher-end cuvée. I think they're wonderful wines. They do a very good job expressing the terroir here in Paso Robles.
And its production level, Steve, on this is what?
Maybe 400 cases in a particular year, so it's like maybe 18 barrels. The cuvée wines, they run about $50, and the availability of them is the issue. We have two tiers of wine club membership, and in the top tier you get a little bit more, a higher allocation of cuvée wines, and hence there's always a waiting list to get in that top tier wine club.
Cabernet Sauvignon and Bordeaux varieties excel at the terroir here. They have a keen ability to achieve ripeness every year. They have soils that lead to natural acidity. They have great diurnal temperature changes, swings, which go from hot to very cold at night, which cools the grapes, maintains acidity, producing small berries. And all these things are very unique features, results of incredible ecological elements that result out of the terroir that we have here. Once the wineries discover that they're not shy about pushing the envelope, and yes, maybe charging a little more for their wines, but there will be something that really is representative of the potential of what we have here, I think we will see a revolution like we haven't seen before in California.
I think, too, that what you've seen today, Paso Robles now being 11 separate AVAs, you're seeing the beautiful wine from J. Laure today. A lot of that fruit comes from the Paso Robles Estrella region. And then we have Daniel's fruit, which just comes from the 2,200-foot elevation from the Adelaide District on Dow Mountain. A lot of the fruit in my wine came from the Creston District. We're talking about very different areas, very different soils, and it shows that the entire region has distinct uniqueness and stylistic differences and flavor profiles, and I think that's what makes Paso really exciting. So again, the event, May 2nd, Cabs of Distinction, River Oaks Hot Springs in Paso Robles, beautiful lakeside venue.
It starts at 1 o'clock for VIPs and 2 o'clock for general admission.
VIP and general admission tickets for sale at PasoRoblesCab.com.
I think the best is yet to come for Paso Robles. As wineries discover that we have the opportunity to push the envelope to put out better wines, I think you're going to see huge changes in the vineyards, which are going to lead in the future to more and more wineries producing world-class Cabernet across the board. This region is a Cabernet region. It started out as a Cabernet region, and I believe it will end as a Cabernet region.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort Maui at Wailea invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning, and Lauren Hayes is our technical assistant.